Good morning, Cooks.
Good morning.
Morning. So, on behalf of the minister, the session, and the staff, welcome. Glad to have everybody this morning. Pardon me. Jason is taking a very well-deserved day off today, and so the session, as is our charge, will be handling the service today. Our message will be brought to us by James Harper. James, a son of the church, one of our former deacons. He will be bringing that to us later on. Speaking of staff, I mentioned staff a minute ago. I just want to acknowledge our music group. Thank you, Clayton. Thank you, David. Thank you, Freddie. Freddie plays the guitar from time to time. He's a member of the choir. And I want to thank the choir. I know we have a few out there. Thank you. Appreciate it. It was a good road getting there, but we were getting there. How about that? Okay, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. And to our sound people, too, which carries on. We appreciate that. Let me get to the announcements of the week, and we have several. So the very first announcement is that tonight's Bible study, we have canceled that because the minister's taking a day off. He's visiting with us this morning to hear the message, but he will be taking the rest of the day off, and he's much deserved on that. Two events this week here at the church. One is Fat Tuesday, celebration before the beginning of Lenten, and our Fat Tuesday pancake dinner fundraiser for the youth is this Tuesday, the 21st, from 5 to 7 in Fellowship Hall. The youth will be serving pancakes and other breakfast sides to raise money for future activities. The dinner is funded by your donations, so bring the whole family. We appreciate it. This Wednesday, the 22nd, we will have Ash Wednesday service here at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary. Cooks will worship God together by sharing scripture, hymns, prayer, and the receiving of ashes. Please bring your family, friends, and neighbors as we begin our season of Lent. We have several dates still available on our flower calendar. So if you would contact Miss Cheryl in the office, she will get you signed up for that. Next Sunday, the 26th, we will receive the 10 cents per meal offering. Once again, I think Penny Love has told us that we will gather again on March the 18th. We're giving you plenty of time to finish our work down the side of the road here. We had about 3 weeks ago, we met on a Saturday, and it was great. It's remarkable how much difference it looks, and we are going to finish the job. We got about halfway. We didn't know how far we'd get that day. We probably are about 40% if we're real lucky, and that's about it. So we're going to try to go on the way down and make it look really good. Your March and through May daily bread devotionals are now in the Narthex, so you can pick those up. Beautiful flowers today in memory of Russ and Alice Thompson by their family. Any further announcements? Mike?
Testing. Okay. I want to let you guys know what's going on in the past couple weeks. If y'all were aware, a couple weeks ago, one of our members, Sharon Gilmore, is struggling. She needs our prayers. She's without her home. She's living out of her car. Okay? And with the help of a lot of folks, or a few folks, I should say, in the church right now, led by Jason, Cheryl, Sheila Black, they're trying to get her help. She's in a desperate situation. She doesn't see the need for help. I happened to be involved this past week trying to get her help. We called the authorities, the police, to see what we can do. While on the phone, our government agency refused to come out and look at her and help her. It really touched my heart. Actually pissed me off. I hope it does y'all too. They say she's no harm to herself. She is. So what I'm asking, folks, is your prayers. The second is I'm asking Cool Attire has done a phenomenal job moving her car at different locations. This past week, they used her parking lot to store her car for momentarily till she could kind of get it cleaned out and find her missing keys. I'm asking you, because they've done this on their own expense. If you got an extra $20, go up there and give it to Chuck in appreciation for what he's done as a Christian. Okay? He needs our help. The second is, Jason, if you happen to have a phone number to DSS or Sheila, she's not here, we need to get that number out. And every one of us, when we see her, we need to call these people and lodge a complaint and see if they'll come out and help her. Because they're not doing it. The squeaky wagon gets the most attention, right? Squeaky wheel. So please, pray for her. Thank Coolwood Tires. Go up there and thank Chuck. And the second is, you see her out, make a phone call to DSS and get them out there. Yes. Yes. Steve in rehab probably will be there for a while. He was her caretaker, and he's no longer able to help her. So please take a moment and think about it.
Read the call of worship this morning. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever.
They rise in darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous.
Let us now prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Join me in prayer. Blessed are you, O sovereign God, creator of all. To you be the glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, and in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts. Your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. After his arrest, Jesus showed his disciples his hands and his side, saying, "Peace be with you." Later on, he shared with them, "As the Father sent me, so I've sent you." As a celebration of our call, let us now pass the peace of Jesus Christ.
Jason, is that some of your folks over there? I saw you speak to them. Oh, okay. So you don't know. So this is somebody new. They might know Reggie or James. I don't know. Yep. So we need to speak to them.
covereth its blood. So pour me in the willing flood. When all around my soul gives way, even is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When shall trumpet trumpets sound?
We say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Join me as we pray our prayer of confession together, found in this morning's bulletin. Almighty God, we acknowledge and confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Deepen within us our sorrow for the wrong we have done and the good we have left undone. Lord, you are full of compassion, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. There is always forgiveness with you. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Bind up that which is broken. Give light to our minds, strength to our wills, and rest to our souls. Speak to each of us, and let your word abide with us until it is wrought in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. By the waters of baptism, we have been eternally cleansed. And friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Let us affirm our faith by using the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed, in which we can be found in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated and join me in singing our second hymn, number 743. would like to invite the children to come forward with a moment just for them by Mr. Mike.
Good morning again. I'm going to talk today about being judgmental. Most of you know, some of you, and I've told you before, for 28 years I was in the Charlotte Fire Department. And 20 of those years I was a driver at Station 1. And part of the, I was asked, but one of the duties I had was training applicants on driving the ladder trucks, because not all stations had ladder trucks. There were only, at that time, I think, 10 or 11 throughout the whole city. Each station had engines, but, you know, so to familiarize the guys and gals, they would come to Station 1, and I would give them a lesson. And somewhere always during our conversation, I would always remind them that it doesn't say Charlotte Fire Department on the side of that door. It's your name. It's my name. It's every one of us that are associated with the fire department name is on the side of that door. So your behavior, your action was not only judging yourself, it was judging us. And what I'm getting to today, as Christians, we just don't have that coat of armor on while we're between these walls. When we leave here, we need to have that coat on all the time. Because when we go out in public and we tell people that we are Christians or we just came from church, and we condemn those people because they work at our local restaurants, because they may be dressed inappropriate for what we think, they may have long hair, they may have tattoos. Who are we to judge them? Our job as Christians is to show them the light, not turn that light out. Okay? So remember, we're seen everywhere we go, and we're judged by these people. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, remember to teach us that we are Christians and that we are to show ourselves as Christians all the time. Amen.
Thank you.
As Presbyterians, we are people of the Word, and so we say a prayer asking for the Spirit's illumination. Join me in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us that we may hear a word of truth this day. Draw us into communion, enable us to love, and conspire to make us one with you and for the world you so deeply love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah 53:5-7. It's on page 731 of the Pew Bible if you want to follow along. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Morning.
Good morning.
How y'all? I feel good. Let's start out with a short verse from Psalm. I can't ever remember if it was 19:14 or 14:19, but may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My aunt taught me that many years ago, Olivine, and it's good to remember. I'd like to start out with a short story this morning. How many of y'all ever heard of Edward Kimball? He was a Sunday school teacher in the mid-1850s, and he had a young man in his class that was just, he could not get to him. He was hard-headed, and it just worried Kimball to death that he couldn't reach this young man. So he decided one day, I'm going to go talk to him one-on-one, and see if I can reach him. He goes to where he works. He works in a shoe store, and he walks back and forth trying to get the courage up to go in to confront this young man and talk to him and witness to him about Jesus Christ. He finally does. He makes it in. He witnesses to the guy, and it was the right point in time because it got to him. He accepted Jesus Christ, and he became an evangelist, D.L. Moody. Maybe a few of us have heard of him. He became an evangelist, and he spread the word of God around the world. We don't ever know what will happen when we witness to people, but we have to go do it. We have to spread the word and go talk to people and tell them. It's not up to us what happens when we do this. It is up to God with what will become of it. I want to read now from John 14, verses 6 and 7. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen me. This, the title of today's lesson may sound kind of odd, Five People Who Tried to Stop Easter. They didn't know what Easter was, didn't know what they were doing or what ramification what they were doing would have. But ultimately, they were trying to stop Jesus. The first one to speak of was Herod, King Herod, also known as Herod the Great. he didn't really have a right to the throne, but he was appointed by Rome to be the king, and he was not in the line of Jesus, but he was appointed king, and they called him the King of the Jews, and he was proud of this title. When Herod heard of king born that the wise men were looking for, he wanted to know who he was and where he was. He didn't want to go worship. He wanted to get rid of him. He lied to the wise men. Well, he was jealous, and he told his the chief priests and scribes, to find out where this new king was, because he said he wanted to go worship him. Well, and he told the wise men, come back and report to me. And God intervened and stopped the wise men and led them another way. So this made King Herod mad. What does he do? He declares that all the children under the age of two will be killed in Bethlehem. And this was his way of trying to stop Easter. He didn't know he was trying to stop Easter. He was jealous of anybody that was said to be after him, or after his rule, is taking his power away. Next is Satan. Satan knew who Jesus was. He's probably the only one that understood that Easter was coming, and with Easter, he loses his power. As after Jesus was baptized, he spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting. I don't know about y'all, but just a day or two without food, and I ain't thinking too good. And as weak. But 40 days, Jesus has fasted, and Satan confronts him. What does he do? He tries to lead him astray, just like, and he didn't, you know, I've said for years, we picture Satan as this big, ugly creature, don't we? But he's not going to appear to us that way. He's going to be the soft-spoken guy that comes up, puts his arm around you. Oh, come on, come with me. Let me show you this. He tried to convince Jesus to turn rocks into bread so he could have something to eat. Jesus turned it down. Goes to a high cliff, said, jump off this cliff, you'll be saved. Jesus turned it down. And then he tells him, this has always got me, that he said, worship me and I'll give you the world. Jesus already had the world. He made it. So this is nothing to him either. He turned Satan down every time. Satan, as I said, is trying to convince him to worship Satan, but Jesus is not having it. He's not going there. Next is the Sanhedrin. They tried to stop him because Jesus is going to take their power away from them. They wanted to have him put to death. They made up accusations, false accusations, and wanted him put to death. They too, with Jesus, if he had been put to death, which he was, the Sanhedrin didn't understand that through their actions, they're actually forwarding Easter. They're helping Easter come. Just like many times God uses bad people to get his job done, to take us to where we need to be. They had their power threatened, and that's why they were afraid of Jesus. But it's, without Jesus being put to death, he had to die for our sins. If he doesn't die for them, who does? Me. I have to die for my own sins. I don't want to. Next is Peter. Now, he wasn't trying to stop Easter, but he just didn't have the understanding of what was going on. He tried to stop Jesus from being arrested. He had no understanding, really, of what Jesus was doing here. He knew he was preaching and spreading the word, but he didn't understand that Jesus had to die. He had to die for us. Even earlier, Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. Peter was being led by Satan. All these people were being led by Satan. Satan did not want Easter to come. He was the one that understood. Next is Pontius Pilate. He found nothing wrong with Jesus, but had him beaten and then crucified. Pilate and the Sanhedrin, like I said, unknowingly helped bring on Easter. Just like without the rain, we don't have a rainbow. Without Jesus dying and being crucified, we don't have a resurrection. Without the resurrection, we don't have our forgiveness of sin. These things had to take place. All these, except Peter, wanted to do away with Jesus, and it was all brought on by greed. They would have discounted him and discredited him and would have been happy if he had never existed. All these, I heard on the radio this morning, going home from here, about people driving under the influence. And that made me think, we are under the influence of one power or another. It's either going to be under the influence of Satan or under the influence of Jesus. These people who just talked about were under the influence of Satan. Even Peter, when he tried to stop Jesus from being arrested, this was not, he was listening too much to Satan. When we read about Peter in the Bible, we see him listed as three names: Simon Peter, or Peter. When Jesus calls Peter Simon, he has completely turned away from what Jesus wants him to be. When he calls him Simon Peter, he's kind of waffling back and forth. But when he calls him Peter, he is really listening and doing what he wants him to do. All these people have turned away from Jesus. We have church leaders today that have the same look. We're told to follow the book of order instead of the Bible. When we read it, we don't really find Jesus in it. It seems that the preachers today that come out of the seminary are studying a different book than what I've studied in the past. When we were looking for a preacher to come here and interim. Thank you. Good job. When we were looking for an interim and a preacher, we would ask questions to them, and they would never give us biblical answers. We'd ask, how do you bring people into church? And we got answers from computers to you need a smartphone. Just, there was one preacher that mentioned Jesus and spreading the word. It's Jason, and we were fortunate to get him. Can you imagine talking to a preacher and he never brings up Jesus Christ or God to you when you're trying to find out about the Bible, and they don't teach you this? What are we doing today? Mike had a great service this morning, and I thought, gee whiz, he needs to stay up here and preach. It's true. We as a nation and as people have pulled away from God. And it wasn't just today or yesterday. It's been going on for years that we have started pulling away. I read in a paper, oddly enough, I ran across a paper from 2014 this morning, and the article in it that I saved it for was about people not going to church and this not believing. And this was 2014. That is 9 years ago, and it ain't got any better. We are content. Look, 20 years ago, the parking lot was full, and this group right here you see are the people that come to church today. You don't have to be in church to worship God, but we have to be around each other to share the word. Mike was talking this morning about spreading the word. How do we show our love for God? By the way we treat his people. By the way we treat each other. Do we do that today? What are we doing? We do not reach out to people the way we should, I think. And just like Mike said, people will learn more about us, about God, with the actions we do when we are not even talking to them. It's not the guy that's standing up here and talking to you about Jesus. It is the people that go out and do the things, not for recognition, but for the people. We've got to understand that we've got to reach out to people. We're not going to fill this building by talking to each other. I ain't going to bring anybody in here by telling the FD about Jesus. It's the people out there we need to talk to. I say just about every Sunday, it is a shame that more people don't hear the sermons in here. And it is. And not only in here, but the sermons that are out in the that preachers are preaching, but we're not a nation led by God today, it seems. I may have told y'all this before, but some years back when there was a big discussion about having prayer in public and in schools, one of our illustrious congressmen came up with a great idea. He thought, sure, let's just pray to a fake God. I can't think of what you call it. Can't think of the word. But he wasn't talking about praying to a real God. Just pray. And you don't have to mention God. If you're not praying to the Father of Jesus Christ and to Jesus, what good does it do?
Help me.
Speaking to this thing don't help a bit. It's not going to feed me. It's not going to help me with my sins. It's not doing a thing. We've got to learn. We've got to spread the word that we pray to Jesus Christ and to God. That is our only way. We can't make it any other way. People, it is Jesus that will save us. He came for one reason, and that was to give us salvation. There's nothing else. You know, there's a fight going on all the time for us. There's a war going on. Jesus wasn't just fighting for us then. He's fighting for us today. He's fighting Satan continually. Let's help him. Let's turn to him. Amen.
Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the lifting up of our prayers of intercession and supplication. Join me now as we pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and love. We trust that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond to them as well. In humility and faith, we lift up our prayers of intercession and supplication. We pray for all those people who have been affected by the coronavirus. We pray for families who've lost loved ones. We pray for the individuals who are fighting this disease presently as well as for their families. We pray for this world broken by sin. We pray for our country, praying that your Holy Spirit would allow us to find common ground and continue to be a beacon of hope in the world. We pray for our community, torn apart by both acts of racism, subtle and overt, and by acts of unnecessary violence. Heal this world through the healing of our hearts, which begins with our repentance and continues through the daily pouring out our lives in the pursuit of assisting others. We pray especially for those on our prayer list: Hazel Dunn, Frank Norris, Jack McClure, Tom McClure, Pat Hager, Judy Rozelle Coffin, Jill Griffin, and all the others in need of our intercessory prayer. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them in the name of Jesus Christ. It was He who taught us to pray in this fashion: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We now turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offering, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
Scenes flow, praise Him.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe You, but we ask, Lord, that You will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in Your service and for Your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Know that you live an eternal life in Jesus Christ. Fear not the things of this world, but help others share the gospel. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.